The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on July 26, 1993 in Bangalore, in Karnataka, India. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 1, Verse 4 and 5.
Sangsayo ayam mahan brahman dharagara sudadishu saktasya yat siddhir abhut krishne cha matir achyuta Samsayo yang mahan brahman Daragara sutadishu Saktasya yat siddhirabhut Krishne cha matirachuta Samsayo yang mahan brahman Daragara sutadishu Saktasya yat siddhirabhut Krishne cha matirachyuta Samsaya, doubt. I am
this.
Mahan,
great.
Brahman,
O Brahmana.
Dara,
to the wife.
Agara,
home.
Suta,
children.
Adishu,
and so on.
Saktasya,
of a person attached.
Yat,
because.
Siddhi,
perfection.
Abhut,
became.
Krishne,
unto Krishna.
Cha,
also.
Mati,
attachment.
Achuta,
infallible.
Translation by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
The king continued, O great Brahmana, this is my great doubt. How was it possible for a person like King Priyavrata, who was so attached to wife, children, and home, to achieve the topmost infallible perfection in Krishna consciousness? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. King Parikshit wondered how a person so attached to wife, children, and home could become so perfectly Krishna conscious. Prahlad Maharaj has said, Matirna Krishne Parata. Matirna Krishne Parata Svatova Mito Vipadyeta Griha Vratanam. A Griha Vrata, or one who has taken a vow to execute family duties, has no chance to become Krishna conscious. This is because most Griha Vratas are guided by sense gratification and therefore gradually glide down to the darkest regions of material existence. Adanta Govya Vishatang Tamisram. How can they possibly become perfect in Krishna consciousness? Maharaj Parikshit asked Sukadev Goswami to resolve this great doubt. So, I'm too anxious to hear what Sukadev Goswami is going to answer in the next verse, which is not in a, it's in a prose form, so we can just go on.
Si Suka Uvacha Bada Muktang Bhagavata Uttama Slokasya Srimad Charanaravinda Makaranda Rasa Aveshita Chetaso Bhagavata Paramahansa Daita Kotam Kinchit Antaraya Vihitang Swang Sivatamam Padaving Na Prayena Hindvanti.
Translation. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, what you have said is correct. The glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is praised in eloquent transcendental verses by such exalted personalities as Brahma, are very pleasing to great devotees and liberated persons. One who is attached to the nectarian honey of the Lord's lotus feet, whose mind is always absorbed in His glories, may sometimes be checked by some impediment, but he still never gives up the exalted position he has acquired. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Sukadev Goswami accepted both of the king's propositions, that a person who is advanced in Krishna consciousness cannot embrace materialistic life again, and that one who has embraced materialistic life cannot take up Krishna consciousness at any stage of his existence. Although accepting both these statements, Sukadev Goswami qualified them by saying that a person who has once absorbed his mind in the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead may sometimes be influenced by impediments, but still does not give up his exalted devotional position. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura, there are two kinds of impediments to devotional service. The first is an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. This is called Vaishnava Aparada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned his devotees not to commit Vaishnava Aparada, which he described as the mad elephant offense. When a mad elephant enters a beautiful garden, it destroys everything leaving a barren field. Similarly, the power of Vaishnava Bharata is so great that even an advanced devotee becomes almost devoid of his spiritual assets if he commits it. Since Krishna consciousness is eternal, it cannot be destroyed altogether, but advancement may be checked for the time being. Thus, Vaishnava Aparada is one kind of impediment to devotional service. Sometimes, however, the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His devotee desires to impede one's devotional service. For example, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha were formerly Jaya and Vijaya, the gatekeepers in Vaikuntha, but by the desire of the Lord they became His enemies for three lives. Thus, the desire of the Lord is another kind of impediment. But in both cases, the pure devotee, once advanced in Krishna consciousness, cannot be lost. Following the orders of his superiors, Swayambhuva, Manu, and Lord Brahma, Priyavrata accepted family life, but this did not mean he lost his position in devotional service. Krishna consciousness is perfect and eternal, and therefore it cannot be lost under any circumstances, because the material world is full of obstructions to advancement in Krishna consciousness. There may appear to be many impediments, yet Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, declares in Bhagavad Gita 9:31, Kunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashyati. Once one has taken shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, he cannot be lost. In this verse, the word Siva Tamam is very significant. Siva Tamam means the most auspicious. The devotional path is so auspicious that a devotee cannot be lost under any circumstances. This is described in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita by the Lord Himself. Parta naiveha namutra vinasastasya vidyate. My dear Arjuna, for a devotee there is no question of being lost, either in this life or in the next. Bhagavad Gita 6:40. In Bhagavad Gita 6:43, the Lord clearly explains how this is so. Tatra tanga buddhi samyogam labbate purvadehikam. Yatate cha tato bhuya sangsiddhau kuru nandana. By the order of the Lord, a perfect devotee sometimes comes to this material world like an ordinary human being. Because of his previous practice, such a perfect devotee naturally becomes attached to devotional service, apparently without cause, despite all kinds of impediments due to surrounding circumstances. He automatically perseveres in devotional service and gradually advances until he once again becomes perfect. Vilma Mangala Thakura had been an advanced devotee in his previous life, but in his next life he became greatly fallen and was thus attached to a prostitute. Suddenly, however, his entire behavior was changed by the words of the very prostitute who had so much attracted him, and he became a great devotee. In the lives of exalted devotees, there are many such instances, proving that once one has taken to the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, he cannot be lost. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. The fact is, however, that one becomes a devotee when he is completely freed from all reactions to sinful life. As Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita 7:28, Yesham Twantagatan Papam Jananam Punya Karmanam Te Dvandha Mohanir Mukta Bhajante Mam Dridharataha. Translation. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, and who are freed from the duality of illusion
engage themselves in my service with determination, unquote. On the other hand, as Prahlad Maharaj said, Matirna Krishna Parata Swatova Mito Vipadyeta Grihavratanam. A person who is too attached to materialistic family life, home, family, wife, children, and so on, cannot develop Krishna consciousness. These apparent contradictions are resolved in the life of a devotee by the grace of the Supreme Lord, and therefore a devotee is never bereft of his position on the path of liberation, which is described in this verse as Sivatamang Padavim. Om Tat Sat. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation and purport to text 4 and 5 of chapter 1, canto 5 of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the matter of the activities of Maharaja Priyavrata. So Priyavrata was a prince. He got the shelter of Narada Muni. He achieved perfection in devotional service. But Swayambhuva Manu and Brahma requested him to take up the kingdom of ruling that universe and to be a king, then you have to also be married. So, this was a big question for Priyavrata also, that if I take all this materialistic activity, isn't it dangerous for me? These are very important verses because, basically speaking, in Kali Yuga, taking the sannyas ashram is prohibited. There's some prohibition. Only under the strict type of sannyas that was followed in previous ages of going in the forest and living off the berries and roots and so on. The karma sannyas is totally prohibited. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave some exception for Tridandi sannyas, where one is engaging the thought, word, and deeds in Krishna's service. This is a type of active sannyas. But in any case, five things were prohibited in the Kali Yuga. And one of them is taking the sannyas ashram. So then if everyone is a grihastha, or the vast majority of people, and Prahlad Maharaj said that someone who is too attached to their family life, they cannot become Krishna conscious. Then how will the people in this age be Krishna conscious? How will they get liberation? It's a very practical problem. The Shankara school or Advaitic school, they clearly say, unless you take sannyas, there's no hope of moksha. If anybody wants to follow the Advaita philosophy and does not intend to take sannyas, that means that he is doomed to not get moksha in this life. Because that school does not know any means of achieving mukti outside of sannyas. This is a fact. And that is a normal understanding by many followers of the Vedas. But here in the Bhagavat Puran, some very confidential information is being given. How someone, even in the household life, can achieve perfection. How they can go back to home, back to Krishna. If anyone who is a grihastha wants to achieve
liberation at the end of this life. That means they had to follow this process of bhakti yoga. No other process gives out any hope for the griha vratas. Taking care of money, house, wife, children, possessions, society, friendship, all these things are very absorbing. And one becomes attached to the material world and identifies that I am this body, and this body possesses all of these things. These are mine. Aham Mirmami. So in this way, they become totally entangled in Maya, in the material energy. And it's like, it's called by Prahlad as Andakupam. It's a dark well. You fall into that dark well, and how to get out? Very difficult situation. So, but Prahlad Maharaj himself, after realizing Narasimha Dev, he entered into grihastha life. And he achieved perfection. Because he was ordered by Narasimha Dev to take the position of his father as being the crown prince. His father was dead. He should become the next ruler. And once you are a ruler, it means you have to take grihast. You cannot be a king without a queen, according to the injunction of Shastra. Also, to be a Rajguru, you have to be a Grihastha, because you have to be able to advise the king in all affairs. So, since the king is a Grihastha, he may need so many advice about Grihastha life. So, Rajguru should also be a Grihastha. Also, Rajguru has to sit in the Raj Sabha, in which case to deal with so many things. So for various reasons, the Rajgurus, generally speaking, became Grihasthas. So then how does this work? This was the question Parikshit Maharaj was asking. So Sukadeva Goswami is explaining the principle, and later it will be described in great detail. The principle is that if somebody is fixed in devotional service, then they don't get diverted from their devotional service. Sometimes there may be an impediment. They may get slowed down. Just like you're want to go from here to the airport, say, and it happens to be the rush hour. So there are many impediments, and your head can only go very slowly in the traffic jam. Then once you clear the traffic jam, you can go again at the full speed. So here it indicates that certain situations might be an impediment. But that doesn't mean that you're not going forward, but your velocity has decreased very much. So there's one circumstance. If one has committed Vaishnava Aparad, practically speaking, their advancement is reduced to almost nothing for a long time. Sometimes the family life may also be an impediment which slows down one's spiritual advancement. Another scenario, of course, is if one is very careful and being very attached to Krishna, even in their family life, they utilize everything in Krishna's service, then in that case, the family life doesn't become a big impediment. There's a famous story about The Grihastha disciple of Ramanujacharya, which I mentioned here before, I believe, how he was tested by Ramanuja, and his wife had all the gold stolen by two disciples. She was lying on the bed. All the gold was taken off one side, and she thought, these are my guru's disciples, so my godbrother, they need money or something. There must be some need in the ashram. She thought, let me roll over the other side. They can take the other jewels as well. When she rolled over, they got frightened that she was waking up, and they ran off. The husband came back. They were listening. What did he say? And the husband saw a wife is having one earring, one bracelet, other side, no ornament. So why this half decorated? She explained that what happened, how she had turned over. And then he said, well, why half? Why didn't I take everything? He said, well, I was lying on one side and I turned over to give them the other half. And he said, oh, you have made a great mistake. You shouldn't have moved. Somehow they would have gotten it off. Because you thought you were the giver. This was your possession. You were giving it to the guru. Therefore, Krishna did not take all of your possession. We are cursed. We could not give everything to guru when he wanted. Because you thought this was yours to give. You had that possessive attitude. They were astonished to hear this Grihastha, how he was so detached from all these possessions. He took everything as property of Guru and Krishna's and was simply using in their service. The similar, much lesser test was done to the sannyasis, where some of their kopins were taken and some of their cloth was, a little piece was ripped off the edge. When the sannyasis went, they tried to put on the dhotis. They saw that a few inches was missing. They started accusing one another. And there became a big argument, yelling and shouting. And nobody was coming to the class of Ramanujacharya. Finally had to send someone there and settle or call all the sannyasis and settle the whole thing. So people before had asked, who is more attached? Why do you take so much service from your Grihastha disciple when there are so many sannyasis? So then Ramanujacharya, he reminded everyone, remember what happened, what you said. I have done this thing. Now you analyze who is more detached and who is more attached. The sannyasis lost a small piece of cloth and they are fighting with each other. Who has taken the cloth? And here, the Grihastha, they have lost all the half the gold has been taken. And they are complaining why they couldn't give it all to the guru. Then the sannyasis were ashamed how they had given up the whole world, but for a little piece of cloth they were still attached. So the actual consciousness one needs to achieve is to be nirmama, to be actually niskinchana, to have nothing. The having nothing can be achieved by a Grihastha if he accepts everything as Krishna's. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed, Manaso deho geho chokichu mor arpilo tua pade nanda kishor. My mind, my body, my household, whatever normally one would consider is theirs, whatever it may be, I am simply offering at your lotus feet, Nanda Kishore. Everything is yours. If someone takes up their service in that attitude, then it will not be a big impediment. But if one is feeling very attached and keeping everything and thinking, okay, this is all mine, I'll give a little bit to Krishna, then it's difficult for them to get a taste for the nectar of Krishna consciousness. The one thing, everything is Krishna's and he has given me this service and from this I should do something to serve him. If everything is his and they have the proper attitude, it will not be an impediment. So it's very important to develop the proper attitude, especially if one is entering into the grihastha life. The Varnashram system was that people would first be brahmachari, learn vairagya vidya, and then apply these things practically when they enter the grihastha life. Nowadays, not much brahmachari ashram is existing in the world. People are going to the primary school, secondary school, university. The whole time they are grihavratas. They may be unmarried, but hardly they are practicing brahmacharya. Girls are supposed to be kumaris. They're supposed to be chaste. But now you go into the modern homes, you see in the rooms of the girls, so many rock and roll stars are there. So instead of keeping their mind pure, they're already getting attached to so many idols. Not the deity, not the murti, but idols. Rock and roll idol. So no kumari, no brahmacharya, then they enter into grihastha life. But where is the hope? Then if somebody wants to practice Krishna consciousness, they say, no, no, not now, you're too young. Wait till you're about ready to just fall over dead. Just Sunday before last, one of my disciples had to leave the body, passed away in Italy. She just took initiation during the Gaur Purnima festival. That time she said that, I've been chanting for some years. A doctor said that I have cancer, I'm going to die. I want to take initiation before I die. I want to fully surrender to Krishna. So she went back to Italy, went to the hospital to check up. And then they said that your situation is bad. Maybe 1 month. Then suddenly she got sick even in the hospital. They did a double check. They say, no, you have only 2 days to live. Maximum 1 or 2 days. There are no hope. We have no cure for you now. The cancer has gone all over your body and there is no hope. What do you want to do? So I want to go to the temple right away. I want to leave my body in the temple where I can remember Krishna. So the hospital arranged the ambulance to take from the hospital to the temple. I think in history, this may be the first time the ambulance is going from the hospital to the temple. Everyone is going to the hospital by ambulance. But here ambulance was used in reverse. To the spiritual hospital. Material hospital failed. Now you go to the spiritual hospital. So she was taken to the temple and they gave her room and there she was hearing the... She was taking, you know, all the devotees were chanting around her, reading the Bhagavatam and Shastra. And with all the devotees chanting and she's praying, she could leave her body. Even Madhusudita Prabhu was there at that moment. It's a very opportune way to leave the body. Reminds how Kadvanga Maharaj, he asked, how long do I have to live? They told him, 1 moment. What do you want from us? The devas said, nothing. Thank you very much. I want to go back quickly. Give me a quick ride back to my temple so I can leave my body there. I don't need anything else from you. So he went right back to his temple and surrendered to Krishna and he got perfection in 1 moment. So he went to the hospital, got information. 1 or 2 days. What do you want? Give me... Back to the temple, right away, quick. And then chanting with all the devotees, leaving the body. So, in this world, nobody can say how long they have to live, what is going to happen. And normally, what happens is people are not able to take shelter of Krishna at that moment. They're dying, they're thinking, Where's my son? Listen, you have to take care of this money I buried, and this safe, and this secret account, and this thing, and the business, and you have to get the younger sister married, and then there's this thing, and that, and what about, you know, and there's so many, they're thinking about how to wind up. And so they're living with all these thoughts in their mind, and they're not able to focus on Krishna.
They went to see the father, or brother, one relative, and all the relatives are there. He's dying. Doctors say he's dying. But they're there. No, no, nothing to worry about. It'll be all right. Everything, you know. They're all like, you know, they don't know what to say. They're all like kind of freaked out. Their husband's dying. Father's dying. They're also, they're just there, you know. No, it'll be all right. And they're saying something. And they don't know what to say. So this one devotee son, he came. So, all right, give me 10 minutes. With my father, please, mother, everyone, just leave the room. Close the room and say, Father, you're dying. You're leaving your body. Then explain to him briefly, crash course, 3 minutes, what is life, what is death. Now you take shelter. You just repeat after me, you're going to die. Now you have to just once at least say the names of God. Okay, okay, whatever you say, you know. And have him repeat, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gave some tulsi, gave some garland, gave some, this, okay, one time, what more could he do? All the relatives, they don't know what to say, they don't know what to do, they don't know, at time of, they're just thinking, you know, everything will be all, like in a state of shock, you know. Devotee is actually practical. What is life? What is death? Don't play around. Take shelter of Krishna. This is your last chance. This is science. Whether one is a... Maybe someone wasted their student life, wasted so much of their family life, whatever stage they're in, they should take shelter of Krishna. Even if they're in the family life, they can still take shelter of Krishna. Then they have to adjust their outlook on life. That happens with the help of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So normally this is not possible. But sometimes, by the mercy of a great devotee like Narad Muni or some devotee, then someone gets shooken, they get taken out from that illusion and they're able to take full shelter of Krishna, even when they're in this family life or when they're in this illusion. So that's why the most important thing in the world is to have many devotees, because one devotee can not only save himself, can save his family, can save so many relatives, can save so many people. One pure devotee can save the whole world, whole universe. So, this science, now we are getting a practical explanation how it's working in the life of Priyavarta. Someone who had achieved Krishna consciousness, now he's been ordered by his superiors to go into the grihastha life. But they were aware also that the dangers are there and that he would have to protect himself. The Priyavarta was so advanced, you see. But in this present day and age, people are not so advanced. How they'll be able to maintain? The only hope is every day if they do chanting and daily worship, make their house into a temple. Have deity or come to the temple regularly, worship the deities, associate with the devotees. Krishna has to be their main family. Krishna is the mother, Krishna is their father, Krishna is their life and soul. And other family is subordinate family. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Namhata Bhajan, he explains, Koro Krishna Sansar Charo Anachar. Make a Krishna conscious family, give up all illicit activities, all forbidden activities. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dhamma Pran. Krishna's your mother, Krishna's your father, Krishna's your life, your treasure, your soul, everything. With this attitude, you can be Krishna conscious. By making Krishna the center of existence. But we can see, if one can remain brahmachari, then obviously you avoid so many risks. You avoid so many dangers. Priyavarta didn't want to enter Griha, he was compelled to. Somehow he was protected. Srinivasacharya, he didn't want to, he was ordered by Narahari Thakur to take Griha so he could be the Rajguru for the king of Bonavishnupur. And he made the whole kingdom Krishna conscious. But many devotees, like Narottam Das Thakur, he remained brahmachari his whole life. This is advantageous for preaching and giving all of the energy to Krishna without diverting. In some cases it's not practical or not suitable for a particular person. But if one is able to maintain, there's obvious advantages. If one has to enter the Grihastha ashram, then it should be done in this way, of Krishna consciously, if you want to achieve perfection in this life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? One of the others, Maharaj. One is having children and a brother, by the brother. Used to be if one couldn't have children, a brother could, just like the Pandavas were born. Then that's prohibited. Then Gomeda, Asumeda is prohibited. Brahmanas are not powerful enough to bring back the dead horse to life. What are the other two? Asumeda. Offering any kind of meat or bali to the pitris. So Gomeda, Asumeda, then offering flesh to pitri, brother, and sannyas. So that's a karma sannyas. That's why those sannyasis shave their sika, throw away their Brahmin thread. They say they not do any work, touch no fire. That type of sannyas prohibited. You see, the Vaishnava sannyas, they do word, thoughts and deeds, everything they're offering. So they're always busy. Even you may see they're driving a car, or they're... Actually, Sumitra Maharaj, Sumitra Krishna Maharaj, he drove me sometime in his car in Sweden. He's on radio show. And they do so many things for Krishna's service. The idea they should use their words, their activities, their body and their mind. Mon kai bakho, in the service of Krishna. Guided by the intelligence. So the tridandi they are carrying, this three words, deeds and thoughts, all offered to Krishna, controlled by the intelligence and the Atma. So therefore we keep also the sika and the Brahmin thread. We don't give up work. We are not karma sannyas. We don't renounce sannyas, karma. But we renounce material activity. We shouldn't do anything material. And of course one has to be celibate. Any other question? Yes? Carry over from the previous yuga. How can you know whether the
sentiment you're feeling when chanting is real or is something material. There are certain symptoms mentioned in Nectar of Devotion and Chaitanya Charitamrita. If those symptoms match up, if the other subsidiary symptoms are also there, the anubhavas, then these are confirmations that it's actually real ecstasy. But in any case, one can always approach the guru and explain what happened and get confirmed whether it's a real ecstasy or not if there's any doubt. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did that, approached his guru and asked whether his ecstasies, they were illusion or something. And then his guru confirmed that no, these are the real ecstasies. You have love of Krishna. Ecstasy may come in a very advanced stage or may come for a moment as a little preview of future things to happen. It's called like the seeing the light in the sky before the sun rises, or abhash. So there's different degrees of ecstasy. Maybe someone gets a little glimpse of ecstasy but doesn't stay. That's a preliminary stage. And when one is more purified and takes more shelter of Krishna, then that ecstasy becomes steady. So it's called sthayi bhav, fixed ecstasy. And one is always feeling spiritual bliss in the service of Krishna. So we want to, we met by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, he gives little preview of ecstasy. So many devotees, they experience in a kirtan, in some festival, a little spiritual ecstasy. It's like an impetus. We want to go on getting purified, and then one will be fixed in that ecstasy without any cessation. Does one become a grihastha because of previous karma? What do you say about that, Maharaj? If you're not a pure devotee, Maharaj's opinion is that you become grihastha by previous karma. Some people may have a sannyas karma, but that doesn't mean they'll be a devotee of Krishna. They may be, have a sannyasi tendency. But somebody fully surrenders to Krishna, even though their karma may be to get married, they can also be transcendental and they can remain as a sannyasi. Or someone may have a sannyasi yoga, they should be sannyasi, but if they're ordered that you have to get married, they might also take that up. They can do anything for Krishna. So by karma, there's some tendencies. Certainly, that's what the astrologers, they look so that, in like for instance, someone mentioned the Madhva, I understand that they look at the chart, who has got the sannyas yoga. They pick those people to be sannyasis who already got that karmic tendency. We don't have that type of predisposition. We don't take the astrological chart for giving someone sannyas. We see whether someone has that is able to absorb themselves in a renounced way for some period of time. So the point is that devotional service can change your karma. Devotional service can adjust things by Krishna's mercy. He's a karma data. He's the one who's giving the karma full. So he can change someone's karma. Sometime astrologer looks at the chart and says, how did you become a devotee? According to your chart, you should be a real bogey. One devotee said that I don't understand how I became a devotee. My whole life I'm simply into sense gratification. And Prabhupada said, I made your good fortune for you. So by some blessing of a great devotee, one can also change their situation. So we have certain amount of free will and we can decide in which way we should do devotional service. After studying so many factors.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.